Greetings, this is Greg, and I have an interview that I conducted with Justin Roiland of Rick and Morty fame at the 3rd Annual ATX Festival. Justin's a great guy, very friendly, very informative, and all I gotta say is that you'll never look at your window blinds the same when you listen to that story. The first question got cut off, but I did ask him what the genesis of the show was, and so that is where we pick it up, as he answers that question.
I was an animation supervisor, animation producer, whatever, on a show called Fresh Baked Video Games on Spike TV.
Right.
And I just was like, I just needed to blow off some steam.
Yeah.
I was like, I came out of that job, I'm like, I gotta get something out of my system.
Uh-huh.
So I made this thing called Doc and Marty,
right,
which was really shockingly, you know, vile and horrible. And I made it really because I was involved with Channel 101, and I started to really get into – I got hooked on sitting in the audience, mm-hmm. kind of, you know, quietly in the audience. And then my thing will come on and just hearing everyone just set their food down and just be like, you know what I mean? this one wasn't as bad as some of the ones I did, but
right.
but this one definitely was in that vein. It was just me blowing off steam and just going, like, I don't give a fuck.
Right.
And it did start as like a total, I was trying to like troll Universal into giving me a cease and desist
yeah.
when I first started it.
Uh-huh.
And then I got like all the way through the animatic and I'm like, I really like this. I really like these characters. I like what I'm doing with these characters.
Yeah.
So then I kind of like I pulled back on that. I changed the names. I did all the Mad Magazine shit that you
yeah.
do. But that was like the first. That was like the very very first time that I ever did those voices.
Mm-hmm.
They're way heightened. They're way looser and crazier. And then years later, or actually a bunch of years, it was me. You know, I kept plugging those voices into different projects. You
mm-hmm.
know, for I had a couple shows at Fox.
Right.
I was in development with, and I. You know, I'd always, like, have those characters somewhere in the shows. But it wasn't until Dan called me. Dan and I have been good friends for, like, over 10 years
okay,
now.
Cool.
And worked together on a bunch of stuff, like, dumps. Like, we made a bunch of Channel 101 shows, like, in my apartment all night long. And just, you know, we're filming all night and then editing it. It's just, like, crazy.
Cool.
But he and I went way back. We've always been huge fans of each other.
Yeah.
I'm like, in awe at what he's capable of doing. And he's always been really, really, like, in awe of the shit that I do.
That's great.
And it's one of those things where, like, he's like, oh, man, I want to take what you're doing and just help you, like, make it a little more palatable, you know, a little more, you know.
Yeah.
It wasn't too far, but he was like, you know. So he called me one day out of the blue, and at the time I was developing it wasn't Rick and Morty, it was I don't know what the hell their names are going to be, Brock and Jerry. I don't know what their names are. I know what they sound like. I know what the personalities are.
Right.
And he's like, hey, man, Adult Swim called me. They want to do something. They want to do a show.
Cool.
What do you got? And I'm like, well, what about those Doc and Marty guys?
Yeah.
And he's like, fuck yeah, that's perfect, perfect. And so the second genesis of the show was, at that point, me and him sitting down going, okay, we've got these great characters. We both love sci-fi, like
right.
crazy sci-fi nerds.
Right.
We love Doctor Who. We love, you know, I mean, anything, like Farscape. I'm just like, Star Trek, you
yeah.
know, everything. So, like, okay, we know we want it to be sci-fi. We know we got to really pull away from Back to the Future.
Right.
There's no DeLorean now. There's no time travel, actually, at all.
Because,
right. like, you know, theoretical physics,
yeah.
like, all that shit, quantum physics, time travel's... We're not there yet. We're
yeah.
not going to get there, I don't think, ever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can argue that if you fly faster than the speed of light, maybe, but whatever.
Right.
But going back in time, you know, that. But anyway, so we, yeah, we sat there and we're like, okay, let's build the show out. We're gonna add a mom, a dad. We're gonna make
yeah.
it. We're gonna make Rick Morty's grandpa.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're gonna add a sister, which I was opposed to at first.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want a sister, dude. I swear to God, I'm so glad we have a sister. I swear to God, Spencer Grammer as Summer is my favorite character.
Yeah.
Her and Jerry are like my two favorite characters. Not to slight Beth, because
yeah.
Beth is getting in the new season we're writing now. Beth is getting more like. Now that we have a voice actress we're working with regularly, and we kind of could tap into her energy,
yeah.
she's getting more and more like fleshed out, and we're learning about her,
mm-hmm.
and it's really great. But it's so it, you know, it's like It's like The Simpsons meets Futurama, really.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got the prestigious honor of being able to talk to Matt Groening on the phone.
That's cool.
Blew my mind, and he was just saying like how much he loved Rick and Morty, and I was just like, I was like, am I awake?
Yeah.
Is this real? Is this fucking real? Oh my god, it was crazy.
So how did you get the one of the things I did love too is when you did the everything on Instagram.
Oh yeah.
How did you get that? Where did that idea come from?
That was all Mike Lazzo. Okay. Somebody on the team over there. I wish I could remember the name. There's a guy over in Atlanta who pitched it to Lazzo. Oh, and I feel so bad I don't remember his name because he deserves the credit.
Okay. Well, I'll look it up.
Yeah. And Lazzo loved it. Mm-hmm. He was like, that is fucking insane. That's such a good idea. When Lazzo pitched it to me, my first reaction was, because it was for a different episode.
Yeah.
And I was like, we can't do it on this episode. It was he wanted to do it on the Rick Potion number 9 episode with a crazy twist ending.
Yeah.
I was like, we can't do it on that episode. I don't want to spoil that ending. That ending's so powerful. And also Mazzy Star getting, you know, that song, such a beautiful song, clipping it all. But it all came together with that sketch episode. I was like, okay, this is the episode. This is perfect. And I was really, I was like, I don't know, how is this going to go over? Is this going to be, what's going to come from this? Mm-hmm. Harmon reacted the same way initially, where he was like, oh, I don't know about that. And then after a day, slept on it, he's like, you know what, yeah, let's do this, because no one's done it.
Exactly.
It's going to be interesting. And honestly, like, that thing was, that was the best thing, because it, we were sort of, like, on this little path of, like, the show was sort of getting these cool things that were kind of blowing it up.
Right.
The big thing was, like, having it available for free on YouTube.
Yeah.
The night it aired, people linking that onto Reddit, and just, like, Reddit, like, front page of Reddit, every new episode, it was just like, what the fuck? And I'm addicted to Reddit for years.
Okay.
So to see that, I was just like, holy shit, my show is on the front page of Reddit.
Uh-huh.
And then this Instagram thing was, like, another big bump in the show. It got covered by every news. I mean, it was just nuts.
We loved it. I mean, I thought, I don't know why nobody's done it before.
Yeah, it's I do. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah,
it's so crazy to do that. You know, like, for a show that you, like, I mean, that was the thing that Dan and I struggled with for that first, you know, just the first hearing it. We're like, you know, we worked so hard on this episode. I don't want somebody going on Instagram and hitting the middle of it out of context. But, like, that's not what happened. Like, people literally sat there. I've talked to so many people that said, yo, let me watch the first one. Okay, I'm going to watch the second
one.
Dude, and they watched the whole episode that way. It's amazing. It's so great.
You got to make the Instagram folks happy, too.
Yeah.
Why do you hate Morty so much? Is he based on a real kid you hate?
Me? Me?
Yeah,
just in general,
why is it so much? I guess why so much?
You know, Morty really is the embodiment of a real 14-year-old kid.
Yeah,
he's a little dim.
Uh huh.
But he's not that. He's street smart. He's street smart, and he's not book smart. He's street smart. He's with it. There's a lot of scenes where he really gives it to Rick.
Yeah.
You know. And I think the thing that I'm the most proud of, and Dan's been pushing for it since day one, and I couldn't agree more, is that, you know, we're portraying this 14-year-old kid the way a real 14-year-old kid.
Yeah,
yeah, like when I was 14, I was jerking off constantly.
Yeah.
I was obsessed with nothing would have made me happier at 14 than to have, like, one of my dad's Playboys have the girl just come out and have sex with me.
That's like, what was that movie from?
It's horrible.
That's like Weird Science.
Yeah,
like
exactly. Dude, like, by the way, we spent like, we spent a week trying to break a story like that in season one when it never came together. But the sex robot episode was kind of like, you know. But yeah, I mean, Morty is very... I mean, we hit it even more in the new season. We're really going there even more. Not to the point where it's like, you know, just like gross, but it is. I mean, when you're 14, you're a kid, you are really going through some shit when it comes to that.
Going through the hormones, you're going through like what other images are saying. I should be this person. I should be this guy, or going down that track, but I'm not.
Yeah.
What's wrong with me? You know. Yeah. That.
No, and I mean, it's so interesting and refreshing to see a cartoon character. You know, I mean, I love The Simpsons. I love all these shows. I'm a huge animation fan.
Mm-hmm.
But they never really handled Bart quite that, you know, explicitly.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
The adolescence really kind of all, it's because it's funny, because it's kind of, it's surreal as a teenager anyway, especially,
yeah.
you know, when you're in high school, so what you guys do actually even takes that to another level.
Yeah. You know? One of my favorite scenes is when, it's at the end of the Something Ricked, This Way Comes, the Needful yeah. Things guy that, you know, at the very end after Jerry comes back from Pluto and he goes to talk to Morty and apologize, and Morty's like clearly yeah. laptop yeah. on, pants down, you know, yeah. And then when he goes to leave, he just like, he's like, you know, hey, you really should not, you know, it's so fucking great. Our supervising director Pete Michaels is like, I've been there. I've been the dad in that situation.
Wow.
So funny, man. So just real awesome, man. I can tell you story after story about me when I was that age and the shit. I got caught a couple times.
Yeah.
Can I tell you one real quick?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Okay, so we were living in Florida at the time, Cocoa Beach, and this is a life lesson I learned. I'm in my room. I don't know what to do with myself.
Yeah, you
know. I don't know what to do with myself. I don't know if you're familiar with those doctor. It was like a Dr. Madness toys. It's like a, you know, it was like worms and slime
yeah.
and shit. And they had this like skull, this big, like it was a bust of like a nasty, gnarly skull.
Yeah.
Right. So I had my blinds going down. This, you know, you turn the blind
so
someone outside could look in. No, they could look in.
They could look in.
Right.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't know the difference. You turn the blinds, you're
yeah.
good, right?
Okay.
So I'm sitting there. I'm like, I'm literally putting my penis in the mouth. It doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
I'm just like,
curious.
I don't know what to do with myself.
Yeah.
And it's a disgusting skull, you know, Dr. Madness, whatever
yeah.
that company, whatever that toy line was. And then my dad walks in, like he knocks on my door. This is like maybe 10 minutes later.
Yeah.
I didn't get anything out. I didn't take care of myself,
right,
so to speak.
Right.
I didn't know what the I was just like lost.
Uh-huh.
My dad knocks on the door. He's like, hey, walk around the house real quick. Just walk around the house. I want to show you something.
Oh.
I'm like, what? So I'm like, okay. And immediately, I'm like, oh fuck,
right.
What the fuck? So I walk around the house. As I get past my window, you could see right down into where I was sitting. And this is what he did. He had a sock.
Yeah.
And he was sort of just like, he was sort of holding it between his legs. Not
yeah.
like, not like.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was sort of just holding the sock between his legs. Oh my God. I was like, he doesn't remember this. I've told him this. I don't remember this. I do not remember this.
He blocked it out.
But it happened, man. It happened. And by the way, that's the day I learned. To this day, fucking blinds go down so you can see down outside,
right?
Then no, yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome.
It's a lesson I learned.
Lesson learned. Blinds up. Is Rick a tortured or misunderstood character, or is he just simply an asshole?
No, Rick is a very, very deep
yeah.
there's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
We know a lot of things about Rick, a lot of stuff in the writer's room that we know that's informing our process that the audience doesn't know and may not know for a long time, but we do know. Everyone kind of gets the sense that, you know, he's seen a lot of shit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's sort of a larger than life character. He really does. I think it kind of boils down to that. You know, to sort of compare it to a simpler analogy, it's like, you know, we all know we're gonna die.
Yeah.
There are people out there who are like, well, fuck it, I'm gonna keep smoking, I know I'm
right.
gonna die, who gives a shit?
That's like my grandmother.
Yeah, I'm gonna do whatever because I know I'm gonna die. It's a
right.
little, it's a little self-destructive, a little reckless.
Right.
But he's also just he's the best because he's like, you know, just morally, he doesn't have a moral compass
right.
because he understands that the cosmos is chaotic.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
In the end, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, you know, because he's not religious.
Right.
There's no, you know, I'm going to go to heaven or hell.
Right.
It's, so it's just like, no, this is just fucking nothing matters. We're all just energy, and you do what you do, and who gives a shit?
Right.
Whereas Morty's a little more, he's got a stronger moral compass.
Right.
He's a little bit more like, that's fucked up, Rick,
right.
you know, calling him out.
Right.
But the character is just, we're really delving into his deep inner psyche in this new season, and I'm kind of peeling it back a few layers. You know, that's kind of what we're discovering is this new season sort of larger continuity. And you know, we write the shows so they're very episodic.
Right.
Any episode could be a point of entry, with the exception of a couple. You know, we like to get real world building on a couple,
right.
but for the most part, you know, 90% of them are very, very, very episodic.
Mm-hmm.
But with these little dashes of continuity and callbacks, which I think the fans have really, really loved. Like, that's it's really powerful to see the reaction to that stuff. When we did that Council of Ricks episode, or I can't remember what it was called, but the name, but damn, dude, like, people went nuts for that episode, and it really proved to us, like, because I fought real hard for that episode, and I sat there, and the night we had worked on it for like a week and a half, 2 weeks, and I remember the night we finally locked it in, and there's this beautiful story circle that I took a photo and tweeted, and if you look at that story circle and you watch the episode, it is structurally exactly every fucking beat. It happens exactly how I did it. But, you know, it's like Dan was on Minecraft, which, by the way, motherfucker can be on Minecraft and still be like, you know, still be able to contribute more than, like, some of the other writers in the room. Yeah, no, he's, like, crazy. But I remember him being on Minecraft, and I'm like, I'm going to repitch it again. Okay, here's something. Here's a snag. We talk about it. We figure it out. Dude, that was one of the best fucking episodes. And then, but the story circle was not funny. It was not a funny. It was a fucking, could have been a Marvel comic. I mean, it was really, really not funny. So when we went to script, that's when we had to go, okay, we got to joke this thing up. We do not, like, stick with the structure. Do not change the structure. We just got to make it funny, add jokes, one-liners, you know, and we did that. Ridley did a great job. We all kind of got together and did a punch-up on it, but, man, that episode blew people's minds. It was so fucking great, and I was so proud of it.
When Adult Swim called, I mean, how much creative freedom do you have with them? Do they give you any notes at all?
At this point, like, we have 100% creative freedom.
Great.
It's unprecedented. I have friends. My friend Ryan Quincy had a show on IFC. He got a lot of shit. Not to talk shit about IFC. They're a great channel, but I mean, he got a lot of notes. And, you know, I've developed with Fox, and I mean, it's just like, you know, you get so many notes that you honestly, you start to lose.
You question.
What am I doing? What is this now? Like, you don't even know what it is, so you can't even make it good anymore. It's fucking crazy. Yeah, we have so much trust from the network. The only time that we got notes that were scary was at the very beginning, right after we submitted the animatic for the pilot. Lazo wanted to recast both Rick and Morty. and I mean, fair enough, though, because I've had a lot of people who initially watched the show. And I would probably, if I wasn't me and I was, like, just someone watching TV and watching it, I probably would react a little. I'd be like, this Rick voice is a dude. It's a young guy pretending to sound old. I get that. But it wasn't until, you know, I won him over. Like, I really had to, like, play it very diplomatically, very humbly, respectfully. I kept sending him little, like, workshop scenes. I'd talk to myself and I'd email them to him. You know, as we were, like, auditioning a mate like Billy West and, like, Tara Strong, all these amazing people. And, you know, people who could have done the job great. But I really knew, like, and Dan too, or like, you know, we didn't fight with Lazo. We were super respectful, and we said, we'll look for somebody. But let me just win you. Just give me a shot. Give me a shot, and tell me what you want me to do. Go a little deeper, a little, like, you know. And that's what I did. I kind of normaled him out. I grounded him a little bit more. I was playing him real, you know, like that original short, and. And I got to a point where, you know, we had a call with him, and he's like, you know, we're more like Michael Cera, you know, just grounded. And the next thing I sent him this workshop scene, and it was 2 days before we were going to send him our picks. Right. We had some good kids, just like Disney kids, you know. It would have been the Disney version of Morty. It would have been like a kid voice, a real young sounding, you know, 15-year-old kid. And 2 days before we sent him those, I sent him this last workshop scene. He called me up the next morning and said, all right, you got the part. I asked for Michael Cera. You gave me Michael Cera. Just do the best job you can do. And what's crazy is that little scene that I sent him ended up being the cold open for the pilot.
Yeah.
We ended up throwing out the original cold open. Were you at the draft house, the Alamo, last night?
Not last night.
Okay. We showed the original cold open and what we were going to do. And it was just like the most brilliant last minute, you know, that's what got me, that's what won him over. for me to do Morty, and then we were like, it's so good, let's just make it the cold open. Yeah. And it made the episode better.
Like, you already talked a little bit about what you guys are planning for season 2.
Yeah.
You want to elaborate a little bit on it, or?
There's a lot of, you know, it's interesting because season 1 was really, you know, the main focus, at least for the first half, was just cool sci-fi inventions. Yeah. We're just sort of brainstorming, like, what's a cool sci-fi invention, like, you know, the cognition amplifier on the dog, or you know, shrinking down, you know, the Fantastic Voyage thing, and just inventions that Rick had made that caused trouble, you know, the goggles, the interdimensional goggles, the family. It's like, so in this season, we haven't really done that much of that type of stuff. We've been really kind of pulling back, and we're now meeting people from the past, from Rick's past, and we have some amazing episodes, though. I mean, really, really fun episodes. And the best part is, on season 1, you know, I had Harmon all the way up until the second to last animatic, you know, to be with me. You know, the way we work is, like, I'll go in, I'll launch everything, I'll go through the thumbs, I give my notes, we get it to animatic. And then once I feel the animatic's okay, I'll do my pass. Then I bring Harmon in.
Okay.
Harmon watches it, and then we do a second. We really talk. Okay, what do we need to do to make this better? You know, we really, really. I mean, that's the nice thing about animation is there's so many steps during the process that you can take advantage to make it better.
Yeah.
I mean, like on the Meeseeks episode, we ripped that thing apart in animatic, and I mean, it made it. It took it from like here to here. I mean, it just like it elevated that episode.
So when you need animatic, so you take it like your first draft of. I'm not familiar with.
Yeah. I'll tell. It's really quick.
Yeah.
We write the first we break the story,
right.
Then we go to outline.
Right.
Then we go to script. Once the outline's approved from the network, maybe a couple of notes from Lazo. And by the way, Lazo's notes are never like, you have to do this. They're always just thoughts.
Yeah.
Which, and a lot of times they really help unblock shit in our heads. Then we go to script, get a script approval. Once the script's approved, we go to record, voice record.
Right.
We record all the actors, and whoever we can't get, we'll temp them.
Yeah.
Then it goes to radio play. So that's it. That I'll go in, I'll sit, I'll do my pass, and then Dan goes in and does his pass. We talk.
Right.
We'll, you know, maybe a couple things will change, whatever, after that.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, that's, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
Then that script or that radio play goes to the director and his board team,
right,
along with the script. So they're listening to our characters, so they can really get, you know, when they're boarding, they can hear how Chris Parnell's,
right,
you know, is he angry? Is he, you know, they can hear,
right,
the inflection. So that cuts out all kinds of bullshit. So they're boarding to the radio play and the script. Then I have a thumbnail meeting where we go into a big conference room, they pull it up, and it's I'm watching their rough thumbnails over the radio play. So now I can see, okay, this is the staging, this is what we're doing. And those meetings are fairly long. There's a lot of notes, a lot of changes. Sometimes not. It just depends. I mean, you know, best case scenario, I walk in and I'm just like, you guys fucking got it in the bag. Like, just clean this shit up. But anyways, and then from there it goes into the actual edit,
mm-hmm,
where we really tighten it, and then the boards are clean now. You know, everything's like really clean and clear. And then, you know, and then it's like, okay, what are we at runtime? What do we got to cut? What do we need? You know, we got to, like, let's paste this part up. Let's move, you know. And then once I do my pass, then Dan comes in. And it's the same thing with the radio play. Like, then we meet again. We talk about it. Once we feel good about it, we'll do a screening for the crew. Kind of hear, you know, it's almost like our little focus group test. And then everyone will, and then once that's done, then we we'll determine, like, okay, this joke didn't land, or whatever. You know, we might make some more changes, but that's usually right around the time we're sending it to the network to get their notes, so we can double team those last final things before we ship it to Bardell or the Canadian studio that animates it. But that's the sort of soup to nut. Yeah.
So how long does that take about? Like, I mean, just to guess me, like. If it's like for one episode, what would that
from
be?
Like from like the from like yeah the conception of the idea all the way to the shipping the animatic?
Yeah.
That's a good question. It's I'd say like 3 months maybe.
Wow.
Maybe somewhere in that neighborhood, 4 months.
Wow.
God, I hope my line producer would know better. I'm like, I know that once it gets shipped out, it's like a 13-14 week. No, it's longer than that now. I think 15 weeks. Turn around for the animation.
Yeah,
it's such an ambitious show too.
Yeah,
I mean,
yes. Wow.
You know, we really do get by, in season 1 and now even in season 2,
mm-hmm,
I mean, this show would not be as good and look as good as it does if it were not for just the love and the passion that our crew has for the content. You know, when they get the scripts, they really are excited. These guys could be working and making more money. Mm-hmm. They could be union. I want to try to get union at some point. It's hard to do. Yeah. But you know, these guys could be working over on a Fox show. I mean, we got really talented guys on our crew. Mm-hmm. And over in Bardell too. These guys worked their asses off on this show. You know, and they do it just because they believe in the show, they love the show, and that's so rare to find in TV, in any TV job. You know, it's like a lot of people are just showing up for a paycheck.
Right.
These guys are there to really like make the show good, and it's just amazing. I'm like I'm in awe of our team, and I tell them all the time. I'm just like, you guys. I mean, I'll tear up sometimes, like talking to them before a screening.
Yeah.
I'm just like, dude, like it just means the world to me. But that's why, because it is so ambitious. I mean, we're writing scripts, and it's like, you know, it's like two things. My art director, James McDermott, he'll get a script, and he'll be like, laugh, like going, you motherfucker.
Yeah.
Dude, this is, you know, he knows. It's like there's no reuse. All new. It's like crazy. No, all new characters, all new locations. You know, it's Rick and Morty, the only thing. And he's just like going, this is gonna be fucking brutal. But then at the same time, he's like just, you know, excited, and he's busting shit out, and he's like, yeah man, those guys are great, and they're so good that I'll go in and he'll show me stuff, and I'm just like, thank God. Like, I don't have to, it's just moving, you know, and it's on the right track, you know, everything.
Where are you from?
I'm from Central California.
Okay.
I lived a year in Florida, but the year that
the year
of my sexual awakening.
Yeah.
But I grew up in a town called Manteca.
Okay.
And just like a almond orchard farm town, you know, just flat, dusty Central California, San Joaquin mm-hmm. County. And then I lived there all the way up until, you know, after high school.
Yeah.
And then moved to LA in 2002 as a PA.
No,
I loved it. I loved it. Some of my best jobs were as a PA
because
it was just like always something different. You know, it's like your day would be broken up with the weirdest shit, you know, so they would just go by really quick.
What was the weirdest thing?
I had to go to a strip club with the crew.
Yeah.
Dead serious. I worked on a show called People's Champions. It was a British show that they brought over here.
Uh-huh.
I don't think Cisco was on it. It was Jeff Boggs was on it and Jenny Daly. But I was like sort of the whipping boy, you know, like in a fun way. Like I was like the guy. It was like a hazing thing, you know.
Uh-huh.
I'm so easygoing. Nothing offends me. I loved it. I was like, this is great. So they had a game where strippers they would cover strippers in Kiro syrup. And the strippers would have to roll around to collect dollars on themselves, and whoever got the most dollars won this People's Champions Award, right? And so two things happened. I had to be the guinea pig for it.
Yeah.
So I go to the office one day, and Jeff Boggs is like, "All right, man, strip down to your underwear." I'm like, "What?" Yeah, we're gonna paint you with Kuro syrup. I don't want to fucking do that.
Right.
You know, like, all right, fuck it, let's do this. I had to like test it, you know. Like, oh yeah, this works, and never heard the end of it.
Right.
Then, when we got to the strip club, by the way, at the time, never been to a strip. I had never been to a strip club. I've been a few now. I'm a little older, but I was like 23 at the time, and fucking, I was the guy that was painting these women with Kuro syrup.
Wow.
So I was like, okay, I had to do that, but now I'm like,
now
oh my God.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm sorry. And it's like, no, it's okay. They didn't care.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that was crazy. I mean, there's a lot more like it, but that's a good example.
I like that. That's cool. That's really cool.
And I'm like, getting paid to do this? No.
Why are the pupils asking us?
That's kind of a holdover from the original short with, you know, where I was drawn on purpose bad, like really shitty.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was sort of like, you know, it's funny. They're not always supposed to be asterisks. That's actually a mistake. They're supposed to just be scribbles, you know, like little kind of tight scribbles. Season two, we fixed that in the style guide. We don't want the asterisks. We want them to be scribbles.
Right.
But it was always just kind of a cool stylistic choice. It was like, you know, I love how people, there are people that just can't get over it. That just drives them fucking crazy. But I say to those people, you know, it's just something different. You know, it's like, no one's ever done that before. I love it.
I like it.
That's just me. That's something I brought to the table. I was like, it's like my style. I want the pupils to be sloppy. It doesn't take away from the emotion in a scene. You know, it's just an interesting touch. You know, it's like, like Matt with The Simpsons. You know, they all have that kind of lip. You know, they have like there are things that they do, and that was sort of one of the things I really wanted to do. And again, like a lot of things with the show, I think after a few episodes, after people have given it a shot and kind of stuck with it. Mm-hmm. They're cool with everything now. They're cool. Everyone loves Rick's voice. Everyone loves Morty now. You know, it seems like people have really the quality of the writing. You know, Dan Harmon's fucking brilliant. You know, mind.
So you initially said you had him up until last two episodes.
For season one, yeah.
For season two, is he?
He's here. He's going to be here. Well, I mean, unless something comes up that I don't know about, I'm always the last one to hear about it. But he's going to be around all the way through to post, which is going to be fucking amazing, cool. You know? And he was really proud of me in that I was able to post season one, you know, more or less by myself. I mean, there was only a couple times where I really felt like I needed to bring him in.
Yeah.
Because mainly with that Interdimensional Cable episode, because it was like, I started to get vulnerable. I'm like, it's just me. It's just me rambling. It's all me. And I was like, man, I need him to look at this and, like, confirm that it's okay, and the last thing I want is to put myself out there like that much, and then people hate it, and so we kind of ripped that one open a little bit. We didn't change too much, but we kind of messed with it. Other than that, he wasn't really there for any of the posting. I would have loved him to be, but he was doing Community, and now he's going to be there all the way through, which is going to be fucking great. I'm very happy. I really do. You know, respect his opinion. I mean, he brings so much to the table, you know, on this show. I mean, not just from like doing a final pass or a polished pass, but you know, structural stuff. We're breaking story, and just like even just like in the edit, just like, you know, I mean, we get our animatics so tight that it's, once it goes to color, it's pretty, it's kind of, you know, it's close, But to have him in color, even, you know, just like to tighten shit or whatever he wants to do, he's like a wizard. He's seeing things from a different, you know, place.
How did you guys get together? Like the first time you met him?
You know, the first time I met him was in 2003. No, I take it back. The first time I saw him in person was in 2003. I didn't become friends with him until, you know, maybe summer of 2004. Mm-hmm. And I always felt like Dan's funny. I talked to a lot of people that met Dan and have gotten to know him over the years, and they all have the same story where they initially thought that he hated him.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's a really sweet guy, but he projects this sort of like he looks like he hates you. You know what I mean? Like, it's very weird. So I'm like, I think he fucking hates me.
Right.
And then, you know, and then as the years went by, like, I did a thing called House of Cosby's. Yeah. I did a bunch of things, and he really, really responded to those. Mm-hmm. And I think the first time we really, I mean, we had been friends and we had talked and stuff, but the first time we really clicked and really kind of, like, our friendship kind of went up to another level, mm-hmm. was after House of Cosby's. He came up to me at that screening, mm-hmm. and he was just like, dude, he just could not stop complimenting. I mean, he was gushing about it.
That's cool.
And it was funny because to him, he was seeing it from this Joseph Campbellian, like, perfect story circle execution.
Yeah.
And at the time, I was aware of that stuff, but I was also very, like, it was accidental in a way, you know? I wasn't writing it, like, mathematically, like he'll sometimes do. I was just, like, making something, and it felt right.
Right.
It clicked.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then from there, we were like, we got to work together. Let's make a show for 101. And then we made Space Investigations. And then that was around the time that him and Rob were developing Sarah's show.
Yeah.
And so we brought Sarah onto it. And I mean, it was just, you know, and for years, and we'd do that, you know, in addition to just hanging out all the time as friends, we would get together and make these shorts all the time. And our friendship has just been, and then we were pitching stuff by as early as 2006. We were pitching shows. Like, we pitched a show to Fox, they passed on.
Right.
We pitched a show to Sci-Fi Channel that they passed on. But we always wanted to work together in some capacity. And then you got Community, and then I was like, then I got all these Fox deals that were just, that mind fucked me.
Yeah.
It's rough. Well, it's great. The money's great, but like, it's psychologically rough,
man. It's like Kyle Killen. like, you know, he did Wake, he did this his last thing, it was on ABC, got canceled, and then he did Lone Star.
Yeah.
Where people know you have talent.
Yeah.
Get into you.
Yeah.
They're putting money behind you.
But then they're second guessing you.
And then they don't, and then they're like, okay, well, never mind.
Yeah.
So you're like, okay, yeah, I've got some money, I can buy another car, but that's not what I want.
Yeah. You want a show on the air, man. Yeah, no. No one's going to see this shit.
That's so weird.
Yeah, it is weird. I'm very, very, sometimes just have to pinch myself. I'm like, you know, we're very much in a bubble still right now on Rick and Morty where, you know, we got a season, worked our asses off on it, it aired. We're working on season two, but I mean, I'm so busy and I'm in such a bubble, you know, it's like you don't, I mean, this was a little bit, I think Comic-Con's going to like kind of freak me out.
Oh yeah.
I think, I mean, we'll see.
This is your first time in Austin, first time here.
First time in Austin, yeah. And Dan was here last year and he really wanted to be here this year. He was all mad at me. He's like, motherfucker, you know, he couldn't come. I would have loved to have him come. But.
Yeah. Is there any chance of any type of crossover with Community or anything with their characters or any like,
I shouldn't say anything.
You can say maybe.
Maybe. I'll tell you this. There's a little something in an episode. It's really, really, really subtle, really meta.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It's just a moment. Now, what I will say is, I desperately want to work with Donald. I want to get him in.
Yes.
And I don't know if you know this, but Allison was the original voice of Beth.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And, you know, it was a bunch of bureaucratic red tape bullshit. You know, she really wanted to do it in series. And, you know, there was this, you know, NBC, this was right after Dan got fired. Yeah. NBC they were being dicks. Like, it was just bullshit. It was bullshit.
Petty thing.
And, you know, not to say, I mean, Sarah Chalk fucking is amazing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, and it took us, you know, it took us we got through all the way to the last record before we cast our Beth for the show. So Dan was temping in Beth all season long. So all the screenings, like people started to get used to Dan as Beth, you know. But so Sarah had to come in. This poor woman comes in and she's like, she had to do all 10 episodes in 2 days.
Wow.
You know, and because she had a trip. It was just nuts. And she fucking killed it. It was perfect. But yeah, man, it was weird. You know, there's some, you know, there's all kinds of people we wanna bring on from Community. You know, I'd love to have, God damn it, I know his name.
Danny?
Danny. Okay. Fuck yeah, Danny. I would love to have Danny.
Ken.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I'm a huge Community fan, so, would love to have those guys come in. It's always like, we're kind of, it's weird. We're sort of on autopilot, or we're sort of on like, almost this weird, let the creative winds blow us where they blow us.
Yeah.
And then when we get to a certain point, we pull back and we look at what we have, and then we start to say, oh, okay, there's some continuity we can hear strategically. But, same thing with casting. It's like, you know, we'll write an episode and we're like, you know, I want to get Danny in, but, or any of those guys, it's like, is this the right part? You know, we keep hitting that. We're like, this isn't the right part. Like, I want to get Peter Serafinowicz in.
Right.
You know, all these guys. And I was like, this isn't the right part for him. You know, Matt Besser's another one I want to get in. We just haven't quite found a character that I'm like, okay, that's a good character. You know, we have an episode coming up. We're gonna try to get Pharrell.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if it's good. I mean, that's like shooting for the stars, right? But we're gonna try to get him. I think it would be amazing. I heard a rumor that he's a fan of the show. I don't know if that's true.
That's got to be like, whenever you're trying to pitch, if you're writing for somebody in particular, especially if you hear that they're a fan of the show, it's got to be a little easier.
Hopefully.
Well, with the person.
We tried to get David Bowie 2 years in a row, and that's like impossible.
Yeah.
Impossible. But he doesn't need it. He's too big, and he's like, I don't blame him. Like, look, man, it's cool. You can't get it if you don't ask. But
you never know, because people are you probably get like calls, or just get people who are into the show. You're like, how did you even know who I was? You're into the show.
It blows my mind when I hear it. Like, I mean, the Matt Groening thing blew my fucking mind, dude. I could not believe it. I mean, I grew up with The Simpsons.
Yeah.
And I got all the toys.
And they've been on so long, I grew up with them.
Dude, yeah. No, we all do. I mean, serious. It's like the longest running. Isn't it the longest running show?
It is. Other than
crazy.
60 minutes, I think.
Yeah, nobody wants to cancel it either because it's like, who wants to be the guy that hatchets The Simpsons?
Right.
I mean,
and there's no reason.
It's still making money, man. It's still doing good. Yeah.
Well, right on. You know, I really appreciate your time. We appreciate your time.
Yeah. Happy to do it.
This was great.
Yeah, man. Thank you, Greg. Happy. Yeah, dude.